way to inner excellence. Cleanse the soul from pride and sin. True excellence begins within. Pathway to inner excellence. Pathway to inner excellence.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, The one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam 50 times upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad Nurullah. Marhaba, khush hamdeed. Welcome to one and all to another episode of the series Pathway to Inner Excellence. Alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, azawajal, we are going to discuss the art of dua. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And that is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is begging in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, many of us have sent hundreds of voice notes to each other in this week. You know, messages, voice notes, peghamat, what phone calls, whatever the case is. When's the last time you went in the court of your Creator and opened your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When? If I ask you this question, maybe many of you will say before Ramadan, maybe in the beginning of Ramadan, maybe some time back. When I mean pour your heart out, I don't mean that, you know, just putting your hands in front like this and looking around and wondering and yawning and just saying Ameen, Ameen to whatever the Imam says. That's not the dua I'm talking about. When I mean pouring your heart out, I mean when did you actually go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, express your needs, your desires, your wants, and then cry and then ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you the success, ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you the blessings, ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you the risk, the sustenance, whatever the case is. So when was the last time you did this? If I ask the question, I told you many of you will not have the answer. So the issue is not that Muslims do not make dua. We do make dua. In fact, we make dua every sehri, every iftar. Allahumma laka sumtu ala rizqika aftartu fataqabbal minni. That's also our dua. This is dua for iftar. Before sleeping, Allahumma bismika mutu ahya. Likewise, when you go into toilet, coming up from toilet, whatever, the different various duas which we read in our daily routine, even after every salah, Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya. These are all duas, yes. But when I say that the problem is not making dua, the problem is how to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the issue. Remember, Ramadan is not only the month of hunger and thirst. No. Ramadan is the month of self-control. Ramadan is the month of sabr. Ramadan is the month of patience. Ramadan is the month of tawakkul. Ramadan is the month of shukr. Ramadan is also the month of conversing and having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ud'uni astajib lakum in the Holy Quran. Allah says, the summary of the ayah is, Ud'uni, make dua to me, call upon me. Astajib lakum. I am the one who is going to respond to you. I am going to answer it. I am going to accept what you are saying. Allah didn't say, you know, maybe I'll listen to you. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, I'll see. No, these kind of things. You know, we go to some wealthy person or some ra'is or some great person in this world, and we try to have a few minutes to speak to him. We say, you know, I'll see, I'll give you an appointment. You know, speak to my secretary, speak to my assistant, you know. We'll see, okay, when you sit down, I have only 5 minutes, I have to go for a meeting. Whatever the case is, but subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. The court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no comparison at all to the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, call upon me, make dua. I'm going to respond. I'm going to answer the dua. So, the hukum And the order from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make the dua. The issue is, are we really making the dua? I told you, you will say in answer, every day I'm making dua. But no, we do not know how to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is not a wish list. You know, where a person just raises his hands, Ya Allah, I want a car, I want a house, I want a wife, I want this, I want that. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. No, it's not dua. Dua is not a panic button, right? That you have an issue now, you just be like, Ya Allah, please solve this issue. Ameen, finish. While you're walking on the road, you lift your hands and make dua. And that. No, that's not really dua. Dua is not a ritual, a custom, a practice after salah, which we just do, not even knowing what's happening. You know, our hands are here, we're looking around, yawning, and talking to each other, and we made dua after salah, alhamdulillah. These are all just things which we are doing on the name of dua, but these are not actually dua. Dua is an ibadah. Dua is an emotional message, an emotional speech, an emotional discussion which you are having with your creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows every issue, who knows every problem, who knows every circumstance, who knows every point, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to answer your dua. So that is what dua is. You know, and if you come to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." The dua is the brain, the essence, the base of ibadah, of worship. Dua has so many elements and aspects to it. Why are we, you know, taking or considering this great thing? Why are we taking it lightly? Why are we overlooking it? Why are we not understanding the value, the essence, and the benefit of this dua? Subhanallah. So if we can understand it, this is actually dua, not what we mentioned now, you know, a ritual after salah, a wish list, and a formality. No. Dua is really an ibadah. It is an emotional-based ibadah. It is an emotional conversation with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Emotion doesn't only have to be sadness. You're extremely happy. You had a child, you had a boy, you had a daughter, you had Allah granted you a car, you bought a house, you know. Your parents, alhamdulillah, are alive. You went for Umrah, you went to Medina, subhanallah. So it's a moment of happiness. Put that musalla down, raise your hands, Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, it's your karam. Allah, you have granted me this, you have bestowed upon me this, Ya Allah, you have put me on this path, Ya Allah, you have granted me all of this. What is it? That's emotion. That happiness is an emotion, and you are putting it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone passed away, someone is sick, someone is ill, what's happening? You put the musalla down, you raise your hands, Ya Allah, I am sad, Ya Allah, I have this issue, Ya Allah, I have this problem, Ya Allah, I have a conflict, Ya Allah, I am going through this difficult circumstance, Ya Allah, accept my dua. No, what is that? That's also a dua. That's also an emotion. That's also an attachment. That's an emotional message which you are sending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't only have to be sadness. It doesn't only have to be happiness. Every circumstance, put that musalla down, you raise your hands for dua, and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your eyes. So this is what dua is. Remember, when you are making dua, you are actually proving your aqidah and your belief. That I am speaking here on the earth, and whichever part of the earth I am in, any country, any corner of the world, any continent, any city, any area, I'm in the darkest place, I'm in the most brightest area, wherever I am, my voice is reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm speaking so soft that maybe the next person cannot hear me, but the voice is reaching Allah ta'ala. Allah hears, Allah listens, and your aqidah, your belief is He listens. Your aqidah, your belief is He answers, He replies. Your aqidah, your belief is He accepts this dua. Your aqidah, your belief is He controls everything. Your aqidah, your belief is He has power over everything. Your aqidah, your belief is definitely the help is going to come from the court of Allah. So this is the real essence. When a person makes dua, then you are proving all of these aqid, all of these beliefs. And this is what the essence of dua is. We need to understand one thing. Why does our dua feel empty? Why? We need to do a reality check, especially for the youngsters. Three reasons why the youngsters struggle to make dua. Number one, we rush the dua. 2 seconds after salah, Ya Allah, forgive me, grant me Jannah, Ameen, finish, dua is done. It's not, I told you again, it's not a formality. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart is not there, your mind is not there, your concentration is not there, your focus is not there. You don't even feel like doing it. It's just a formality. You did it. Ya Allah, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Finish. Sometimes the words of dua are on our tongue. That even if we're not focused, we are making the dua. It's on our tongue. We don't even know what we are asking for from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Khalike Kainat, Malike Kainat, the owner of all the worlds. How do you expect to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You must ask Him wholeheartedly. Number two, you know, we start losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask once, you know, we feel that it's not accepted, we leave it. We don't ask again. We ask one, two, three times, we feel like I'm not getting what I'm asking for, we lose the hope. No, that's Allah, that's your Khalik, that's your Malik, that's your Creator. He knows what is better for you, what is best for you. And sometimes, yes, you are asking Him something and He's not granting you that because He knows that at the moment this is not good for you. And then you're asking Him and He grants you immediately, it was better for you. So the du'as are accepted, but there are different scenarios, different states, different stations, different ways those du'as are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we learn in narrations, that sometimes you make the du'a, what you ask, that is granted to you. Number two, you make a du'a, what you ask, that wasn't granted, something on its place was granted to you. Number three, you make the du'a, and that is not granted to you. Something on its place is also not given. And the dua is stored for the hereafter. And the hereafter, when you go in the court of Allah, you will see this mountain of good deeds, this mountain of rewards. And you will ask, Ya Allah, where did this come from? And the answer will be that all those duas which weren't accepted in this world, these are all those duas. And at that time, a person will think and consider and think that I wish that none of my duas were accepted in this world. Are we really making dua like this? Number three, we only call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are desperate, when we are in need. Okay, it's good. You know, when you are in a problem, remember Allah ta'ala. No harm. But why do we forget Allah when we are happy? Why do we forget Allah when there is something good? Why do we forget Allah when we are really excited? Why do we forget Allah when we receive a bounty? That's not the real connection which you're supposed to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the three main reasons why the youth struggle. Number one, they rush it. Number two, they lose hope. And number three, only when there is an issue, they turn in the court of Allah ta'ala. We need to rectify all of these three things. The rush needs to go away. We need to take our time, concentrate, focus each and every letter which we are uttering from our mouth. Number two, relax. The du'as not accepted now, no problem. Allah Ta'ala, there will be a time where the du'as will be accepted. I've been making du'a, you've been making du'a, all of us have been making some du'as which maybe it hasn't been accepted for quite some time now. You know, months and months have gone by, maybe years have gone by, and du'as are not accepted. But that doesn't mean that we need to lose hope. No. That means that every time we feel that, you know, we are not getting what we are asking for, go back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you that which is better for you, inshallah. And number three, not only in dire circumstances, yes, in moments of happiness, in moments of pleasure, in moments of excitement, in moments when you are receiving a bounty, those moments also turn towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we need to understand there is a connection between Ramadan and between dua. What is that connection? If we look at the Holy Quran, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fasting in the month of Ramadan. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. And these are all the ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the great month of Ramadan. And if we carry on, you know, in the next few ayat, we find after mentioning about Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعَوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This ayah is related to dua. Then again Allah Ta'ala goes, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. Again the laws of fasting carry on. So the discussion of Ramadan takes place, then dua, then we go to the laws of fasting. So dua is actually placed between the ayat, the verses regarding fasting, regarding sawm, regarding roza. So this means that, you know, when your stomach is empty, when your ego is weakened, when your heart is softer, that's the time when dua transforms you. That's the time when dua really has its effect. That's the time when, dua really touches you at that moment. That's the time when your dua really comes from the bottom of your heart. At that time you feel that, you know, you are helpless. Stomach is empty, you are weak, your heart is soft. You know, there's no laziness due to eating and all those kind of things. So at that time, you really go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make the dua. So there's a million wisdoms behind, you know, why is this dua between the fasting verses. But this is why we understand that, you know, there is a connection between Ramadan and between dua. Let's keep in mind, Ramadan is emotional purification. Dua becomes deeper because the distractions reduce. In Ramadan, you're not, for the good people I'm talking about, you're not distracted by your movies and your film stars and your this and that and every sort of amusement and those kind of things. No, in Ramadan your focus is towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ramadan your focus is towards Islam. That's when the dua really has that deeper essence and that oomph to it, I would say, you know, to make you understand. So this is why there is a connection with Ramadan and dua. And then we have sehri. We have iftar. At sehri we make dua. At iftar we make dua. I mean, for iftar, that moments, those few moments, that's the time where Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua. People are freed from the fire of Jahannam. That's the time people used to play. That's the time people used to, you know, prepare for iftar. You know, the samosas, the bhajiyas, the pakoras, you know, and all those kind of things. And that's the time where we were supposed to really go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to really, you know, accept our dua. Majority of Ramadan has passed, and more than half of the month has passed. But we need to ask ourselves this question that, you know, have we really utilized the time before iftar in the dua, which is the ibadah, which is the essence, the brain of ibadah? Have we really utilized that time? If the answer is yes, then mubarak to you. If the answer is no, then unfortunately we are wasting our moments in these precious moments of Ramadan. So let's look at the framework of dua. How should dua be made in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, praise. Start with Alhamdulillah. Start with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma rabbana laka alhamd. Allahumma anta as-salam wa anta as-salam. You know, start by praising Allah. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. The one who says this, you know, 5 times Ya Rabbana, 3 times Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Inshallah, the dua is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are, you know, the ways of starting your dua. And then come towards gratitude. Mention the blessings which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon you and thank Him for those blessings. Ya Allah, You granted me parents, Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, You granted me a car, Alhamdulillah. You granted me a house, Alhamdulillah. You granted me a life better than millions out there, Alhamdulillah. You granted me the ability to sit in front of You and make this dua, Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, You have granted me so much in my life. So this gratitude, this shukr, a person needs to make. When a person makes this shukr, you know, that's how, you know, you really feel that the blessings of Allah Ta'ala are with you. And yes, you are enjoying the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we start with praise, then we move towards shukr. Number three, then you come towards your personal desires. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, fix my life. No. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have this issue. Ya Allah, please show us your mercy on this issue. Ya Allah, I need this. Ya Allah, I want this. Mention. Don't be shy to mention your needs and desires and wants in the court of Allah Ta'ala. When we mean needs and desires, we're talking about lawful needs and desires, not unlawful things. Because unlawful things are obviously, that's haram, that's impermissible, that you are mocking ma'adhal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your lawful desires, don't be shy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows already what situation you are in, what you are asking for, how you are asking for everything. You know, what do you need at this moment? Everything He knows. So mention it. You need a house mentioned in the court of Allah. You want to go to Medina, mention it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to, you know, maybe have a good spouse mentioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is, that's your creator. He knows everything about you. Why are you shy to put your pleas and your requests in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number four, end your dua, not only on this world. Put a connection with the akhirah as well. Ya Allah, you have granted me the bounties in this world. Ya Allah, protect me on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, on that day when there will be no shade besides the shade of your arsh and throne, Ya Allah, protect me on that day. Ya Allah, grant me the blessings on that day. Ya Allah, keep me steadfast on the teachings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, grant me the water of Kawthar from the hands of your beloved on that day. These are all the various aspects you can touch on. And this is how you make your dua. So you start with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You went to gratitude, you went to your personal problems, then you went to the akhirah, the long-term focus, which is the akhirah. Right? Between all of this, or in the front, in the beginning and in the end, recite durood upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you see how this dua will inshallah have an effect and will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we need to try and do. And I'm not saying that we will perfect it in one day, no. But yes, we need to try our level best. And the more we practice, the more perfect it's going to be. As we say, practice makes perfect. So we make dua, may Allah really enable us to, inshallah, do everything perfectly. At the end, you know, let's do a youth application. Make a 5-minute daily dua this Ramadan. Sit down alone. Alone from everyone else. Go in your room. Go in the corner. Put your musalla down. Cry in the court of Allah Ta'ala for 5 minutes daily. Just go and make dua with the pattern we discussed. The durood sharif in the beginning. Then the praise. Then the gratitude. Then the personal desires. Then the akhirah. Then the durood sharif. And make dua like this. 5 minutes I'm asking you only. But make sure it's 5 minutes, you know, worth. You know, 5 minutes in which you are putting everything just to converse to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, make a secret dua which no one knows about. You know about it. Something you are desiring, something you are wishing for, something lawful you are wishing for, which, you know, it's in your heart and nobody knows about it. You are trying your level best. Make the dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, keep a list of duas. Put your desires in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put all your desires. There's no shortage in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mercy is not going to finish. His bestowal is not going to finish. His grant is not going to finish. His treasures are not going to come to an end. It was existing. It is existing. It will always exist. It will always be there. It's never going to come to an end. So you don't worry about that. You put your desires and requests in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we understand from all of this here? Remember, your tears are not your weakness. These tears are a very great strength of yours. They're your power. And these tears leave your eyes in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala loves those tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, loves when the person sheds these tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these tears which leave your eyes, they are actually the proof that your heart still believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the proof that yes, the hope is there in the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a proof that, you know, your tears are leaving here. Why? Because now you have really emotionally connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act upon whatever we have discussed. And may Allah ta'ala grant us the blessings of Ramadan and the blessings of dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Till we meet again, we hope to see in our coming discussions. Remember, instill the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of the beloved Rasul is the base of your iman, the base of everything. We hope to see you inshallah in our coming episodes. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, positive and remain positive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Pathway to inner excellence cleans the soul from pride and sin. True excellence begins within. pathway to inner excellence, pathway to inner excellence.